We just got to blast them out of office. Blast them out of office is the words he used.
That's why they didn't like him.
And yet he was very mild-spoken and likable, according to E. Dudley Parsons. But I realized when I was reading it last night that I just couldn't make notes because I was in bed and ready to go to sleep. I thought, well, look that over to add to it another time, which I'll have to do with everything. For years, and that was where the Irish lived. I grew up, I taught with them and had a lot of fun that year.
Where was that?
Well, that's it. I'm trying to think of that town near Gracefield. I'll find it. Put it in.
They were all Irish?
I'll describe it, huh?
They were all Irish?
Practically all Irish, although there was a Methodist church and there were some of the others. But the Irish were the fun. They'd have a card party on Friday nights and all those old Irishmen would come to the party and you got one of them for a partner, you'd have a gay time because they'd bid a slam. If they didn't have a thing, they'd bid a slam. And often finesse it in such a way that we'd make it.
For gamblers.
I'll never forget them. They usually ate their lunch after 12 o'clock so that if there was any meat around in the sandwiches, they could eat them. Friday night.
Oh.
I never missed a card part.
But they play mostly bridge?
Okay.
What were you playing?
Oh, 500. Mm-hmm. I think it was 500. And that was near Graceville there, on Easter, that isn't Lent, is it? And if they'd all the Graceville too, the whole neighborhood would have one gay time.
After Easter.
Yeah. They observe Lent quite well. Most of the teachers there, that was quite a story too. The teachers were Catholic. I think I mentioned the priest. He was young and new from Ireland. And he called me the little one. I used to go with the teachers when they said the stations around. And I went once in a while to the Catholic Church, but they had the Methodist Church too. After that, they had quite a thing happen there. One of the men in the bank, young man, was a Lutheran, and He fell in love, or they fell in love, both of them. A girl who was a convert to the Catholic Church. Her mother was a convert too. Well, anyway, they started to go together, and everybody was a little bit horrified because he was a Lutheran and she was a Catholic. One weekend, they disappeared. And they came back married. They'd been married in the Lutheran church. And she had given up the church and become a Lutheran all at once, and nobody knew. And the person that took it the best was the priest. Mm-hmm. Well, he said, it's already done, and it have to be. He was a young, quite a liberal man. Some of the Catholic teachers said, well, I don't think we should speak to those people anymore. And I have a book, I think it's in there somewhere. I have a book called The Mistakes of Catholicism. He had used that book in converting this girl to Lutheranism. Mm. And he gave it to me. He said he didn't need it anymore. Mm. But with me, I didn't think any more of that than I did of the Catholic, because that was Lutheran.
I'd rather be a Catholic, I think.
Well, I just assume.
How were the Irish kids in your class?
Oh, that is another thing about that. That is a school that I went to at Christmas. I had come back from the West, and I didn't. I substituted in a country school there for a girl. I didn't get a school until Christmas that year. I had come back too late to get in on it. And my father was sick, too. And so I took that job. I got that job as principal. There again, the principal had been either resigned, had been practically driven out by a gang of seven boys, great big fellows. And, well, I guess I didn't know what I was, whether I was getting into anything or not. But apparently, it seems to me I have told this, apparently they had been given pretty much of a lecture that they'd better behave and not drive out another teacher. Because they were fine. They were just all right. I just went in and took things for granted. And they were friendly. You know, Irish people are always friendly.
They had driven out the other teacher.
They had. There was something had happened there that she had resigned. She couldn't take it anymore, or she almost had to. It might have had something to do with religion. She was a Protestant, too. I don't know. I never knew.
Where did you live there? Did you live with the Irish?
No. I roomed with a couple that were not Irish. They were, the man worked in the hardware store there. But several of us roomed there. I guess that is the only place I roomed there all the time that I was in Staples. And those kids, they were the ones that, on Big Stone Lake there, you know, it's a little ways from there. And they invited us, several of us, to camp. And we went back every year after school to a cottage there, and boating and so on. And there were several of those boys that were out there. And they just invited us to come out there and be. We went. They furnished a cottage or something like that. Yeah, got along fine. And I have often wished that I could contact some of them. And there was a Mary Miller. She was the merriest thing I've ever seen. She was always having fun and always into mischief. But you didn't mind it. You know, she was so good-natured. And she tried to do things. And
what would she do?
Oh, just, I don't know what she did. She just went around kind of laughing at you. I just can't tell you now.
How many?
And she didn't work very hard. She didn't want to study any harder than she had to.
Did you have all the grades in one room?
Oh, no. This was a high school.
Oh,
I was principal. And there were about, there were anyway four high school teachers. And then the grade teachers inside.
What did you have to do as principal? Did you have to oversee the teaching, or what did you do?
No, as principal in all those schools, you didn't do much more than teach, except sometimes you had a little discipline that might be referred to you. You might make some decisions or help make them with it, you know what I mean, be at the head of a meeting or call a little meeting. But usually that was in connection with the superintendent. But I did have to take care of the reports. You see, they'd turn their reports into me and I'd have to make the whole high school report. That's really about all the difference. and of course to organize, to help with the schedule and organize the classes in the beginning.
Did you have you didn't have PTAs then, did you? Did you have PTAs?
No, we didn't have PTAs. We didn't have any. Probably we had a little more contact with the parents. They'd come to the principal maybe. But usually all that was done by the superintendent. So you were principal more or less in name, and you had more paperwork.
Did you get more money?
Yeah, a little. Maybe $5 a month more, something. $6, $10 maybe. Oh yes, you got more money. You got maybe a little more than that. Well, you did have more work to do. You had classes. You had about pretty near as many classes as the rest of them, and then you had this other things to look after every day. Maybe you had to make out programs, or the teachers would make their program out for a week, and then they'd hand it over to the principal, and then we'd have it on file for all of us, and I'd keep that on file. So
you had no trouble, huh?
I can't remember I had any trouble. Oh, it might have been a little difference. And they might have to get them to do some work.
Nobody wasn't interested.
No, of course it wasn't. I didn't blame them very much then. I certainly don't blame them now. But I didn't have any, personally, with my own class. Oh, there might have been somebody acting up.
I think
back to the fact that I don't remember. Of course there were, I suppose, difficulties. But for anybody, and I didn't know how to teach either, because I had never been trained how to teach. I'd been trained in the subjects. But I think I knew how to get along pretty well. And it may be that I wasn't, I thought at the time that I was not a good disciplinarian. But now I think it was all right that I was. I know that I took the position several times. I made it plain to them that I was as much of a subject in that school as they were. I told them that I'm here to help you, to teach you, and I have above me that state course of study. I use that. And if I want you to pass that, but you have to pass it, and it's the state that tells you that, not me, in order to get credit. And you know, we had that, and it helped too. And I told them that, but kids were different in those days. They wanted to get to, and a lot of them wanted to go to school.
Yeah.
They liked school. They liked September when it came.
But maybe they, like you, wanted to get away from the farm work.
I don't know if they liked me or not, but they adored me.
They were like you. You wanted to get away from the farm work.
Like I did.
So did they.
Were like me, sure. Yeah. I think that. I don't think there's any question about that.
It was easier than the farm work.
And most of them that were working somewhere. So I can't make anything. I never, as I remember, I can't remember of a single pupil being expelled where I was teaching, or where we were teaching. In the schools, they just didn't do it, and the kids didn't want to be expelled.
Did they have to go to school? Were there laws?
They had to go until.
There were truant laws. If you didn't, you were picked up.
Oh, I don't think they
They had truant laws. That was one of the first things they had, enforced education up to 8th grade.
Yeah. Well, they had to go to school, but they came.
Well, I can.
I taught so long ago. I quit in the 30s, and the last years I taught in those smaller schools.
Well, I think they had truant laws a long time ago, in the beginning of the public school.
Oh, yes, they had laws that they had to go.
You were picked up if you weren't.
Grade. But to say they were picked up, I don't remember. They had to pick them up.
Well, my school, they always picked up the boys who didn't come to school.
Well, maybe you were, but I don't know. I don't remember anybody.
Oh, you always had those big boys that didn't want to go to school, you know, who...
No, you didn't always have them. Those big boys liked to come. That's what we had in Staples, and they were all... They liked to be there. They had more fun in school than they would anywhere else. And athletics and everything. The big boys were pretty good.
Well, they just kicked the teacher out before you came. I mean, they were so bad.
Well, I don't know what that was. There was a difference. They had done the same thing over in the Forest Lake. A bunch of teachers. But I think it was more as much school board business as it was the kids. I don't know.
Oh, in fact.
A girl in trouble that she had a baby.
And she belonged to the lower classes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was all. That was always happening.
And she finished. She was pregnant that first year I was there. No, she was pregnant. They just said second year. Then I went to Staples. I got a better job in Staples, a bigger school. And they went west. I heard from her for several years. But that was that.
She didn't marry him, huh?
No. They didn't marry.
But everybody knew he was the father?
Well, I guess so. I guess so.
Yeah, that was
Now let me see about any other case. There was one pregnancy up in Hines, one girl. She married them. That happened after we left, but she was still in school. They got out together. And there's some of that. How much we wouldn't even know, maybe. But as far as being men and women grown up,
oh, yeah.
But most of the kids that went even to a high school, in high school, some of them would come from the farms and live with somebody. But but in the later years, they all had buses, so they lived at home.
Oh, and the consolidation, yeah.
And their homes were comfortable, like up at Hines and Shevlin and so on, pretty good. They didn't do hard field work or anything. During the Depression, then they came into town here and tried to get jobs. A lot of them came and stayed with me. My place was sort of a headquarters. And my pupils had come. And even old friends like that Edith that I told you about that came. And I told her to go on home. After 2-3 years of working here in town. So that's true, but that was after they left. And some of them came to work for the summer to make some money.
Well, even now.
You see, then Nina had already had her children. And she's describing her pioneer life.
Didn't her children have to help financially?
Well, of course they helped, but probably not too hard. kept a slave. As a matter of fact, when I found, of course, I may not have had to work as much as some, but the time that I thought I was a slave, and I look back on that, living on a farm with great pleasure and the freedom that I had, was when I went down and clerked during sales in the 30s to make a few dollars. That was much more slavery than I had ever experienced on the farm.
Yeah, well,
of course, you hated to plant potatoes, but you planted potatoes for a while.
You know, there was
out in North Dakota, their farms were mortgaged, or they lost them, they'd lose them, and then they'd stay on as renters. Mm. But somehow or other, they ate. It didn't make much difference. They were doing that all the time. They had no crops, maybe for 2-3 years, but I don't know. We survived.
Some did.
That was true. Some went back east and some went west.
There was
the ones that went west.
There was a tremendous.
They died. I don't know. But the farms and some of the farms, they were miserable. They had to save and they didn't have much food. But we thought partly because they didn't diversify out in Dakota. They raised only wheat, so many of them. We did. We raised all our food. My folks came, and the Irish always did. The Irish were real good managers.
Raised.
They managed to live a pioneer life. But they had it. They had their corn, their all the vegetables. We always raised some meat, you know, and get some fish or suckers. They weren't very good, pretty bony. But you could eat the bones. They digest them too, only I didn't like to.
You could chew them up?
Yes, this little fine bones, you know, they don't want anything. And my father, all years almost that he lived, in spite of the law, there's an island in the middle of the river where we were. And he'd have a dam and a fish trap. He'd put in that fish trap whenever we wanted fish, big fish, let out the little ones and take what we wanted to eat.
Mm. That was against the law?
It was against the law. There was no law in the earlier days. And we always had chickens. Kill a chicken, eat eggs. Bread. Generally had
where'd you get that?
Town, bought it. You get it by the pail. Real nice. Well, it wasn't as good as it is now in the little cans. By the way, I want to get some. So, of course, there were people that were worse off than we were, and there were maybe. They worked hard. They thought they worked hard. But as I look back, when I, at that same time, what was happening in industry? People were working even 12 hours a day. Imagine that.
I don't think there was any farmer who worked less than 12 hours a day. More than that in threshing time and... That was one of his complaints.
He couldn't get to work and work 12 hours a day. It was too wet in the early day. He couldn't get to work.
Wet every morning?
They would work. Yeah, they worked hard. Somebody would bring him coffee, the women did. Maybe in the middle of the forenoon they'd have a lunch. They'd stop for lunch, for dinner. And always had coffee in the afternoon. I don't think farmers, as far as I know, didn't really work 12 hours a day. But they were kind of half on the job, I'll admit that, almost from sunrise. But
the worst thing.
And there wasn't a day during that time, but my, when it wasn't raining or anything, that they wouldn't lie down and have maybe half an hour rest in the shade in the afternoon, after dinner.
A half an hour? Goodness.
Well, fine.
The worst, I think the worst exploitation in that time
well,
was...
Well, I think, I don't, and the... Nobody worked after dark.
You never read Aldrich's novel, The Lantern on the Plow?
What on the plow?
Aldrich has a beautiful novel, a woman, what's her name, Aldrich?
Bailey Aldrich?
Yeah, it's called The Lantern on the Plow.
Well, that could be, but not us. Not there.
You were a pagan family, I think. You know, the worst thing about there was, imagine paying 12% interest on money.
Oh, that was
awful. That was really what ruined.
I agree there. They charged interest.
12% interest.
And they foreclosed on the farms. There was one no good farm up on the hill. We lived in the valley. And there was that farm up on the hill. I think it changed hands. Somebody tried to live there every two or three years, and then the land gamblers would take it back. But they couldn't live. They couldn't make a living on there. And nobody's on it now either. It's not. It's gone back to sod.
Because it was on a hill? Was that the reason?
It was high, you know. Well, it was just towards the edge of the hill, and somehow or other, I don't know whether it's being used now or not, I don't think so, but for years there, that farm, nobody could make a living there, they had to give it up. Of course, they had that terribly long drought, I think it was in the 30s, and everything kind of went bad, nothing but tumbleweeds all over the country. But then they got help.
And they have any holiday or any holiday organization or anything that kept the banks from taking the land back?
Well, not when I was there. There was no organization in the early day, you know. By the turn of the holiday organization came after I wasn't home anymore. But they had it, of course. And the Nonpartisan League, I guess they got a few reforms there during the Nonpartisan League. It came in 1916. And they weren't taking it back. They weren't doing that. Well, I can see. All this was happening in the 90s and the first 10 years, perhaps, 1900.
Uh-huh.
Or 80s and 90s. And after that, they got some reforms, certainly got some reforms on interest, too.
Yeah.
And they got hail insurance from the Nonpartisan League. Oh, they got a lot of, you know, the Nonpartisan League did just a lot for them.
Yeah, they didn't have much protection.
Hmm? Yeah.
They didn't have much protection against the wolves.
No, they didn't. They didn't have any. They didn't have any protection in those early days, in the 90s. As far as I can remember, there was no protection. Banks could charge anything they wanted if they had to borrow money. And you know, most of the farmers, we didn't do that as a rule. We did it some, but so many of those wheat farmers had to buy all their groceries, so much of their groceries, and let it be in one big bill in the fall when they harvested the wheat. Then if they didn't have any crop, they couldn't pay the storekeepers.
Uh-huh.
Well, those farmers and the farmers around us, the Strongs, the Skeffingtons, and the Devitts, they didn't have those big bills. they raised their, they had some, I suppose. I don't know. I think we had some, but nothing to speak of. In other words, we sold eggs, maybe 8 cents a dozen, and we take something into town to sell, or chickens, or butter, and then we'd buy the groceries we needed for it, for that money.
Mm-hmm. Then when the price wasn't good, you still had enough to eat.
Yeah, we had enough to eat. They all did, because we ate so much. We produced what we ate too, and especially in through the winter when we had meat. And we sold, we raised pigs, and we sold some beef. Didn't get too much for it. Sometimes it just about cost what we got to get it to market. That was one of the injustices to the farmer, and that got remedied too. The railroads couldn't charge so much.
That's one of Wallace's big parts of his program is still the freight rates. Mm-hmm. He says that you can. If you manufacture glass in Alabama, it costs you more to get it to Chicago.
Yeah.
So apparently they still have that problem.
So, of course now I guess they're more renters again because the big companies have bought up the farms around North Dakota. But in my community, there are still the small farmers holding, some of them holding on to their farms. And of course, they've had some real good years.